Blog Talk Radio.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Every time I hear that song, I get a visual in my mind that that individual could have been an angel, but they saw him as a nobody. That individual could have been Christ, but they saw him as a nobody. They didn't give him consideration because the way he looked, the way he appeared, and they missed the whole picture. But he knew no matter what, that individual, that he had to go and tell everybody about the man that saved him. Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's Word. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ears unto thy saying. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. God's Word is the power that we need. That's why we have to keep our ears in tune to his word. Keep his word in front of our eyes and let it reside in the midst of our heart. For if we're looking for healing to our flesh, it is medicine. If we're looking to get that abundant life, it provides it. Again, I'm your host, Brother David. Welcome to the Spirit of a Soldier. Well, let's go right into the quote, because I'm excited. I got a lot of information to give you in a short block of time. Won't take as long because it's the closing of the four-part series. All right. Maturity is not when we start speaking big things. It's when we start to understand the small things. Spiritual maturity is not reached by the passing of the years, but by obedience to the will of God. Comes when we stop making excuses and start making changes. For you see, the scripture tells us in Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And James 4:6, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner, and purify your heart, you double-minded man. And Psalms 26:2, prove me, O Lord, try me, test my heart and my mind. And in Romans 1:21, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or gave thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish heart was darkened. For you see, the scripture tells us that we should not lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge God. Because if we do, we have the tendency to lose heart and fall into the darkness that deceives us. Where the ones where God would cleanse our hands and cleanse our heart, cleanse our mind, but because we're double-minded, straddling the fence, lukewarm, we miss the depth of God's word. So it's important that we continue to honor God by studying his word, attempting to understand his word, and acknowledge him in all our ways. But that takes change. That takes transformation. So I want to tell you a story. During a research experiment, a marine biologist placed the shark into a large holding tank and then released several small bait fish into the tank. As you would expect, the shark quickly swam around the tank, attacking and ate the small fish. The marine biologist then inserted a strong piece of clear fiberglass into the tank, creating two separate partitions. She then put the shark on one side of the fiberglass and a new set of bait on the other. Again, the shark cleared hat. This time, however, the shark slammed into the fiberglass divider and bounced off. Undeterred, the shark kept repeating this behavior every few minutes to no avail. Meanwhile, the bait fish swam around unharmed in the second half of the petition. Eventually, about an hour into the experiment, the shark gave up. This experiment was repeated several dozen times over the next few weeks. Each time, the shark got less aggressive and made fewer attempts to attack the bait fish. Eventually, the shark got tired of hitting the fiberglass divider and simply stopped attacking altogether. The marine biologist then removed the fiberglass divider, but the shark didn't attack. The shark was trained to believe a barrier exists between it and the bait fish. So the bait fish swam wherever they went, free from harm. This reminds us sometime in our own life. Many of us have experienced with failures, emotionally giving up and stop trying. Like the shark in the story, we believe that because we were unsuccessful in the past, we will always be unsuccessful in the future. And we continue to see the barriers in our head, even when no real barriers exist between where we are and where we want to go. So it's essential that we recognize that even though we fail or we seem that we believe that we have failed, we need to make sure that we don't let these barriers prevent us from moving forward. They keep trying, keep trying. As I mentioned one time before, they said, Thomas Edison, you failed 10,000 times trying to create the light bulb. He said, no, that was just 10,000 ways. I realized not to do it that way. So even though we may miss the mark, we may not achieve what we want to get in the first try, the failure sometimes the prerequisite for success. So we have to keep moving forward. Otherwise, we'll be like the shark. And if you know anything about keep moving, and it can't keep moving unless it keep feeding. And if it don't feed, it will die. So it's important that we keep feeding our mind with the Word of God, fleshing our mind with the Word of God. Because if we do this, we'll continue to have the strength to keep moving forward. Those things of the past will be of the past, and we press on towards the mark of perfection, towards the future. And this moves us right into our series. The last part of it is embracing our new creation. As we move into the last part of this series, we now assess and we'll wrap up the embracing of the new creation and what it's all about. In my research, Genesis teaches us that when God created man, he formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul, out of Genesis 2:7. The soul was given the ability to think, to feel, and to choose. However, a soul by itself cannot interact with the world. That is why God gave man a body with five senses that acts as a window enabling him to know the world around him. But the soul inside the body cannot have a complete personal relationship with God because God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4:24. Thus man was also given a spirit to enable him to know God, to perceive the spiritual realm in much the same way that the body enabled him to perceive the physical world. Everything was originally in place for a perfect relationship between God and man, and then something terrible happened. The first man, Adam, and his wife Eve rebelled against God and died spiritually. You know, sometimes it says, you hear in the wedding vow, to death do you part. Sometimes it's not necessarily an immediate physical death. It's a spiritual death, because Adam and Eve did not die right away. They went on to have children and have a life. But spiritually, their connection with God was challenged. Therefore, losing that spiritual connection with God, the spirit died, had been passed down to every generation. This you could pick up in Genesis 5:3, Romans 5:12, causing mankind to fumble around in the spiritual blindness searching for God. And we heard the song, we heard the message that tells I was blind, I was once blind, but now I see. So people have been starting many religions attempting to find their way back to God. But despite all the religious effort, man is still a soul trapped in a physical realm. What we need was a spiritual rebirth. That is why Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:3. The spiritual birth occurs when someone admits that they are lost, hell-bound sinner, repent, and trust Christ and only Christ to save them. Now, when you are truly born again, supernatural transformation occurs. But God's word says that, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. As a new creation in Christ, you will definitely know that a change has taken place in your life. And for most of us, we can contest to that. The way we saw the world maybe 10, 15 years ago, and so for some, just 6 months ago, there's a whole new different perception. You have a new lens now that you look through. You get a different picture because the old has passed away. The Bible says all things become new. And it's not talking about turning over a new leaf or making a New Year resolution, as we talked about in the previous series. It's not you yourself who makes all things become new. God is the only one who can perform this transformation, and he does it from the inside out. See, that's where we've been conditioned so long through the world to entertain the external and miss it out. Missing out on the eternal that we will be being able to receive down the road. Building our treasures here on earth instead of preparing ourselves for the treasures we're going to receive in heaven. Thus, in the last 3 weeks, I presented several factors and characteristics of the new creation in order to show us just how profound this transformation of being truly born again is. So I'm going to jump right into the series. I discussed the human development cycle that occurred in the natural and how various phases of our lives will be displayed through certain behaviors and characteristics that will show us either our level of growth or show what we need to grow or where we haven't matured at all. Why is this growth relevant? Because we want to put away the old man or the child that kept us from maturing spiritually in Christ. See, spiritual maturity is essential. It is what's going to define you in your walk with Christ. It's going to define you in your interaction with others. It's going to define you in the end how you stand before God, my good and faithful servant. So spiritual maturity is essential. And the only way that you're going to mature is that you have to put away the childish way. See, 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. So we know that back in the Denny kind of way, and we had these philosophies or the ideologies that we thought were so profound and so deep. But when we reflect back, and I can reflect that over to Paul, when Paul was out there fighting for the Romans and the Pharisees and Sadducees to go do their bidding, he thought he was operating out of a mature way of seeing Christ, or not Christ, but seeing his religious belief. However, he said he even understood as a child, and he thought as a child, or he reasoned as a child, spiritually immature. But when he became a man, he put away those childish things. This scripture tells us that at some point in our life, through the developmental process spiritually, we have to put away those childish ways. We have to let them go because they're non-productive. And we've seen people in the natural who are still no bias against them, if you will. But some have not matured even in the physical realm. They still think that they're 18 years old when they're 48. They're not being held accountable and responsible, and nor do they want to be doing the things that entertains them. fulfill their self-seeking behavior and their wants and desires. But as the Buddhist once said, and I studied with them some time back, wants and desires will create pain and suffering at some level. And for those who have not decided that they want to mature in Christ, pain and suffering is going to come in so many forms that at some point, at some time, just like the gentleman said in the song, Lord, I raise my hands up to you because I can't do it no more on my own. But for those who don't, they miss out on the abundance of that growth that is provided through Christ. And then I talked about the various theorists who talked about the lifespan development process from the natural. And I made the comparison of the various levels, the prenatal development, the infancy, the toddler, the early childhood, the middle childhood, the adolescent, the early adult, middle adult, and the late adult. And I compared these various phases to the spiritual development because, oh, yeah, we have to go through those phases. No one can jump out and be mature as soon as they get born again. I've yet to see a baby come out of the adult. So it's the same here. And in those earlier phases, we will display certain behaviors and characteristics that shows our lack of maturity. And so it's important that we continue to strive to develop and mature spiritually. And this will enhance our ability to do other things down the road. Because as we're looking at our spiritual transformation, we can see the various changes that manifest within our spiritual body as we move through these phases ourselves towards this new mature spiritual creation or our new creation in Christ. And as I mentioned earlier, we want to gain a visual of what the new creation would look like in the spiritual development as a physical, there are characteristics that becomes important as breathing. These features are so important that the Word tells us that in 1 Corinthians 12:16, if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. Every part of this development, every part of our spiritual development, if you will, from the characteristics that I'm going to talk about, are essential. These features we covered was the mind, the ears, the eyes, the heart, the mouth, the spirit, and the feet. And they are usable parts of the spiritual body to carry us through our mission and declare the works of the Lord. No longer are they just a part of us to embrace the blessings and become spiritually fat and no earthly good. And too many of us are gathering, sitting, well, not so much now, but sitting in the pews and listening to the pastor, getting spiritually fat for our own selfish gains. So we can think higher than we ought to of ourselves. We can become like the Pharisees and Sadducees. And oh, we may say we're not like that. But when your brother need a helping hand, are you there? When your sister give you that phone call and she need to talk, do you have a listening ear? When someone needs and they're crying out to you in pain from a heartbreak, a crushed spirit, are you standing by their side? See, in the earlier part of the Job story, when Job went through all his crisis, his buddies did do right in the beginning. They just sat with him. See, they had a level of spiritual maturity. They understood, maybe I don't need to say nothing. I just need to be there for him. Are we there? Are we developing these skill sets? Are we developing these attributes that are essential for us to truly be iron that sharpen iron? So as we begin to learn how to use our renewed mind that has been transformed to help us think and meditate on the things of God, we start to gain the ability to hear God's voice through the Holy Spirit and His Word. Therefore, maturing in our listening skills to effectively begin to know the plan of God. See, the Word tells us about listening and hearing. He says, it tells us in the Word that, you know, that we must learn how to take the time to have ears to hear. And all through Revelation, as he talked to the different groups, he told them, those that have ears to hear, let them hear. And those listening skills, those ability to take in what is necessary of God's word so you can effectively use them to help others to mature in God's word. Now, once we were blind, we began to see from a new perspective. Here's where the eyes come into play. They allow us to see, they allow us to gain those spiritual eyes, the ability to discern and understand the spiritual things that are freely given to us by God. For this is out of 2 Corinthians 2:12. So once we have ears to hear and we have a mind to receive and we begin to learn how to listen and activate those skills, we start to understand how to operate in God's word a little better. Therefore, we no longer speak with ineffective tongue that defiles a man. And see, it says in the word that no one can bridle the tongue. But now we can speak the things of God that creates life, not death. And why does this transformation happen? Because we get a clean heart that allows us to speak. See, in the heart is where things come from. Luke 6:45 tells me, a good man brings good things out of the good, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaketh what the heart is full of. So as we become new creations in Christ, we begin to learn how to store the good things of God. See, God's word is the good news. We begin to understand how to take the scripture through the Holy Spirit who will illuminate God's scripture for us so that we may have the ability to understand and discern it, to be able to now operate in the good things. Now our heart is filled with that which God says is important. The psalmist tells us, David says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew the steadfast spirit within me, or the right spirit in me. For you see, now we move and we develop in that spirit, as we talked about through the other series. That new heart, that clean heart. So now this heart doesn't harbor hatred. This heart doesn't harbor anger. This heart doesn't harbor ill will, jealousy. This heart now harbors, or if you will, what resides there now is love. And we always talk about love, because love is essential. We should not do anything unless we have the foundational base of love to move us forward. So we keep receiving that clean heart and that new spirit, we can move forward. And I said a new spirit, that's right, because Christ talked about this. We have the right spirit in us. In John 17:23, he says, I in them and thou in me, that thou may be made perfect in one. Now Christ is in us. The Holy Spirit is a God is in us. Now we become perfect, we're mature in them. And see, it says in Romans 8:11, but the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And he that raised up Christ from the dead shall now quicken your mortal body by the spirit that dwells in you. Now you have the Holy Spirit. This same spirit is what guided Christ, directed Christ, taught Christ, comforted Christ, supported Christ, directed him in every way. He did nothing without the Holy Spirit. So now we're moving into that spiritual maturity. And that's essential. Because, see, we are a spirit being housed in a body with a soul, mind, will, and emotion. As we move forward and mature with that sound mind that God gave us, we begin to activate that faith, that measure of faith that he gave us. That fear now has no place. But we move in that power, that dunamis power that is founded on love to go forward now as the Holy Spirit worked in Christ and he moved forward in love, we also would move forward in love. We're maturing in Christ. He now will begin to make our body alive where we now, as it once said in the scripture, that our youth will be renewed like the eagle. Not your physical body, if you will, but that youth now that once the locust had took away, or I like to say, if we allowed it to take away, those things it took away through the years, now we get it back through the Holy Spirit. We are empowered with what we need to go forward. And as I talk about the physical attribute, we begin to get new hands that allows us to do things in God. For we now would labor together with God, 1 Corinthians 3:9. And then we strut in with new feet to walk in the direction God wants us to go. For in Romans, it tells us that for as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. We move in a new direction. But we once we get ready to go and hang out with the clubs, we once we get ready to go and rob a bank, or once we get ready to go and do drugs, or once we going to go do something that was not conducive to our development spiritually, physically, and mentally, emotionally, we move in a different way. And the hands that we once operated that would get us in trouble, now they're helping to build who we are and to build up others. And then it says, he that say he abide in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. 1 John 2:6. We begin, as we abide in Christ, begin to walk like Christ, talk like Christ, act like Christ, move like Christ. This is what's important. This is what's essential. Because if we truly want to become all that Christ intended us to be, we have to be invested. But you can't be invested unless you invest. I always say to people, I've never seen nobody have a classic car that didn't put the 20 years in. You got to put the time in. You got to put the energy in. You got to go forward in order to mature in this development. And now that we have a new resurrected body, that from the ashes to the diamonds out of the rough, we begin to display new attributes, because now we have the mind and heart of Christ. Those attributes look like this. Now, because of the time constraint, I'm going to have to limit them, but I'm going to give you these pearls, and if you want to know more, you go into the archives and pick it up. Those attributes are now love. Christ was love. Christ operated out of faith. He was faithful. He had the knowledge and the wisdom necessary that even when people tried to trip him up, because he understood the word, even when Satan showed up, he told them, it was written. Temperance and self-control. You know, in the fruits of the Spirit, the first thing that starts with is love, and it ends with self-control. Then you develop this level of patience that you can wait on Christ, because you know that all things come together for the good for those who love him. And then you operate in this godliness. You begin to separate yourself from the old man into the new man, because you want to fulfill the pleasures of God, not the pleasures of self. And you learn to exercise and understand that humility is not a sign of weakness, but a sign of strength. Oh, they thought Christ was weak. He said, but you don't lay down my life. I lay it down. I give it up freely. You begin to become prayerful, because prayer is the communication line between you, God, and the Holy Spirit and Christ. So you begin to operate. Jesus prayed all the time. And I won't say 24/7, but when it was necessary, when it was needed, he had no problem with it, even unto his death. And he always operated out of obedience better than sacrifice. See, he said, if it be not my will, but your will shall be done. And then he operated out of forgiveness. Too many people are suffering because not only are they having a hard time forgiving others, they're having a hard time forgiving themselves. But as we move forward, these qualities will improve as we mature in our new creation. Well, we will develop new abilities, that now it is not our own abilities, but it's through Christ. For the word tells us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Philippians 4:13. And with all this newness, we begin to inquire. It's a change of our once broken or haughty self-image. We begin to acquire a new self-image based on God's word that commands in Joshua 1:9. It tells us, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. See, we're so busy looking for outside support. We're so busy looking for outside acceptance. We're so busy looking for outside approval. But all that we need, and we can build on that, is knowing that God is with us wherever we go. Emmanuel, God is with us. Once we really get the reality of that, and this is why this new creation is so important, because once we get the reality that God is always with us, oh, I know every human being wants someone around him. God even understood that when he said it's not good for man to be alone. He knew that one, we needed someone like us to support us. And as I always go back to one of my favorite deacons, I always say, iron sharpen iron. Adam had Eve, and as we move through the stories throughout the biblical time, someone was always connecting to someone. And even Jesus himself could have came him and just spiritually moved through the land. But he got in a physical body, and he connected with physical people, and he had about 500 followers, but he narrowed it down to 12, and he narrowed it down to 3. See, we all need someone, but at the end of the day, we know that when no one is standing, Jesus understood this. When no one is standing there, when no one will support you, when no one will encourage you, when no one will talk to you, when no one will call you, when no one will text you, when no one will love you, God will love you. God will love you. But you got to know that God is a spirit. And he will give you that comfort. He gave Jesus that comfort in the wilderness when he sent the angels down to comfort him. So therefore, we have to be strong and courageous in the Lord and not walk in the fear. And when I talk about fear, there's respected fear. We talked about this, a respected fear and that terror fear or that reverent fear, we would call it. There's things you have to show respect, as fear has its place. I would not imagine God didn't put it there for no reason. But that terror fear, that's that Satan fear. That's that fear that stifles you. That's that fear prevents you from maximizing on what God intended you to do. Even Moses was concerned. I can't speak. God understood that, so I'll give you Aaron for a minute. But once he stepped out and he was in it, I remember hearing Frank Sinatra even say, every time he goes on the stage, he gets butterflies. But once he opened up his mouth, that's a wrap. See, but fear will stop you from opening up your mouth. Fear will stop you from being bold. God gives us a new image of ourselves. So you can hold your head up high because you can look to the sky. You can hold your chest out proud. Not that haughtiness pride, but that proudness that God is within you. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. The Holy Spirit is guiding you. The Holy Spirit is directing you. You have the new strength. So you don't have to walk in that fear. You don't have to get discouraged because God is with you. You see, Philippians 1:6 says, be confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it into completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That's mind-blowing in itself. I remember there was a song, and I think it was a woman saying, she said, I got a new way of talking, a new way of walking, and you didn't put it there. See, Satan ain't going to put it there, but God will put it there. And now you can walk with your head up high because you know who you are. You are a child of God. You are a child of God. And then it tells us that in all these things, it begins to produce a new longing in your heart. Where you once, the world was your main focus. But now you begin to feel out of place in that sinful world we once enjoyed. For the word tells us in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Once we begin to break from the worldly thirst, we begin to develop a new sense of peace that surpasses all understanding. See, half of the things that we deal with, our traumas, our issues, our crises, our divisions, all because of the worldly thirst. And Jesus understood this when he was tempted in the wilderness because Satan offered him the world. And had he probably fell forward, well, no doubt about it, had he fell forward, we would be lost forever. But he didn't get moved by the worldly thirst. And he was in a fleshly body. He said he was tempted by everything known to man. But he didn't give in. He understood the true peace that comes when you keep your mind on thee and trust God, he will give you that perfect peace. As I used to tell people, fear is not the absence of crisis or issues. I mean, courage is not the absence of fear. It is in relation to the crisis or issue that you encounter. but it's being able to go with courage into that situation and being able to walk forward in the confidence that you have. So it's the same here. You're not going to be removed from the chaos that exists within the world. That ain't going to happen. You know, I had a friend, he's always said, well, if I get this, then I'm going to be this. And then when he got that, that didn't happen. Then he said, if I receive this, then I'll be this. And when he got it, that didn't happen. See, because he was counting on everything external to give him the peace that only comes internally. And this is why we have to understand that God is the only one that can give us that new sense of peace. See, the scripture tells us in Romans 5:1, therefore be justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Remember we talked about comes out of the heart. So if you fill your heart with hate, you fill your heart with pain, you fill your heart with doubt, you fill your heart with fear, you fill your heart with depression, you fill your heart with anxiety, you fill your heart with doubt, all these things you fill your heart, they will crush your spirit. But when you trust God, it'll surpass all that, and you'll have a different level of peace. And any situation that you're placed in, it may not physically always feel comfortable. And that's the illusion that we get, that once we get saved, we're going to feel this certain way. But feelings are fickle. Can't govern you. They have a purpose, but you can't govern your life on feelings. So it's essential that we learn how to recognize the importance of realizing that life will bring crisis, but God will bring us joy. God will bring us peace. God will bring us hope. God will preserve us. God will protect us. We can trust God because God can never fail. Hallelujah. Now, I know you probably think that all this comes, all these things are coming with the new creation of Christ. Yes, but I'm not going to stop here. As a new creation in Christ, you begin to experience a sense of fulfillment. Where if we choose, we'll never have to seek after things of the world in order to fulfill that empty void inside. There are people, and I'm sure everybody on this line know it, who are sitting alone, and they got somebody next to them, but they're sitting there alone in their mind and their heart. They have a void. They have an emptiness. They have a loss. They have lost their hope. And people can be alone. And then for those who are alone, bachelor, bachelorettes, if you will, or just people alone, they're struggling too. There's an emptiness. There's a hollowness that needs to be fulfilled. But once we gain this insight with Christ and become this new creation, he fills all those voids. He provides all that we need, that comfort. And you know what's funny? If we be patient, he'll provide the people we need. He'll send that person to sharpen your mind. He'll send that individual to make that individual to call you, to text you out of nowhere and say, you know what? I just wanted to let you know I was thinking about you. And, you know, on the other side, being the recipient, we have to be open to this. We can't sit there holding anger, holding yesterday in our hand, and not letting it go. Because if we hold on to it, it is ours. We have taken possession of it. And it will regulate how we live our life. Many people go through their lives, as I call them, one in generality, not being meaningful specific. And if they are meaningful specific, it's because it's in the negative. They're talking about what another ethnic group done to them. They're talking about what happened 400 years ago. They're talking about they don't have their freedom. They don't have their 40 acres and a mule. They don't have a man. They don't have a wife. They don't have a girlfriend. They ain't got enough money. They don't have a job. But one thing I know about traveling, this is the promised land for now. America, despite all its issues, is the promised land. It is the land of opportunity. And I was just online with a brother from Ghana last night, and he was telling me he was in the royal priesthood of in his country. His father was well off. And then all of a sudden, everything went south. And they had to flee to America. And they went from riches to rags. Everything changed. But the spirit of that family, as we would say, the family, if you will, it's the village that builds the individual, as it takes a village to raise a child. Well, that's what he had. His family came, and they built another empire because they were together. They didn't have the lonely spirit. They had the hopeful spirit. They let go of what was wrong when they had to flee. And they came here to America of a new to make a new beginning. And that new beginning nourished their lives to move forward. But we got to be open. We have to be open to change. And I talk about the acronym of change, and it goes with the first is C, standing for conflict. Oh, you're going to have conflict and change, something that you don't want. Because we get comfortable. As my chaplain would say, we develop an unconscious complacency. We get comfortable with it, business as usual. But change has to come. And then we may begin to feel hurt. But I'm sure when they had to make their change coming from Africa over here, they were hurt. They lost everything. They were like the Job story. And I'm sure their father, being old school, was angry. So there's your A. But then they begin to network with others and make contact to their family back home. And they continue to let their village work together. Where they began to move into the G to grow. And as they moved to grow, they moved it to the E to change their expectation. So when those contact you, when you are lonely and angry and mad at the world, but somebody reach out and say, you got value, you have purpose, you have meaning in my life, you got to open up your hand because a closed hand can't receive nothing. So we have to be open. And we have to be open to this new change that's happening with us, with Christ, because it will give us that new fulfillment. And then the scripture tells us in 1 John 4:14, Jesus said, but whosoever drink of the water that I shall give him never thirst. I like that. Let me say that again. Jesus said, but whosoever drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Everlasting life. Cooling water that nourish your heart, your soul, with a light that is full of abundance. You know, the thief come to kill, steal, destroy. He come to take away your hope. He come to take away your dreams. He come to take away your ideals. He come to take away your man. He come to take away your children. He come to take away your marriage. He come to take away your finance. He come to take because he comes to kill, steal, destroy. But oh, don't lose your confidence. Because God says, I come to give you life and give you life more abundantly. New life in this new creation that we got. And last but not least, a new assurance that's better than AAA, State Farm, any insurance out there. Because God's word tells us we don't have to wonder, guess, or hope. Because out of Romans 8:16, it is written, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Good insurance. The one who created it all. He created everything you see. You may not can see God physically like you see your brother or your sister, your husband or your wife. But if you look outside right now, you look outside and you see the snow coming down. That's God. He gave us true assurance. When you see the birds and the deers, and well, at least out in my area, you see these things, that's God. When you see the buzz going by, that's God. When you look in the sky and you see the geese, that's God. When you look at the sky, that's God. When you see the moon, that's God. When you see the sun, that's God. When it rains, that's God. That's God. And check it out. We are his children, because he said the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit, the new creation, the clean heart, the new spirit that he put in us. It testifies with him because we his children. 1 John 5:13 says, I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. So even after we transition from this life, this assurance continues to flow. We have eternal life. So I would tell you, cast not away therefore your confidence in God and this new creation that he's put in you, because it has great recompense of reward. The rewards are great. The blessings of God are great. David talks about it. He will forgive all our inequities, heal all our diseases, redeem our life from our own destruction, crown us with his loving kindness and tender mercy. He will put us and satisfy our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. He will bless our bread, bless our water, heal our diseases. And he did all this when he took all this upon his body on the tree, that we would die to sin and live unto righteousness, and by his stripes we would be healed. He promised us his salvation. He promised us long life, so we can declare the works of the Lord. So as we move forward through our development and we embrace this new creation, this new creation that God has given us with this new spiritual body, we need to begin to walk in our greatness in Christ. Not the greatness as the way the world sees it, but the way Christ came in to take ordinary people to have them do extraordinary things. As we talked about in this series, he looked at what the man would be. His name was Samson. And he saw him to become a pebble to a rock, the which his church would stand. He looked at a man whose name was Saul, who was killing all his people, who persecuted him. And he moved him from Saul to become Paul, who will write one-third of the New Testament. See, God sees us as the way he plans for his completion. He wants to ensure that we move forward to become intended us to be. So again, remember, Christ is the solution to the New Year resolution that you embrace the new creation in 2021 of who Christ has called you to be. And that's children of him, royal priests, kings and queens in his kingdom. Yes. So I hope that through the series, and I hope you go back and look at the archives and do your due diligence, because it's essential that we study to show thyself approved, to rightly divide the word of truth, to be a workman who is not ashamed. So when we go before others to tell them about this good news, oh, it's good news now. This good news, oh, yeah, it's good news. This good news, oh, yeah, it's good news. This good news, this life-changing news that takes you from being in this hollow state of existence to this fulfillment that God will provide for you all the time. If you think not, just think about you breathing. He already provides. Think about when you move it. He gives you his strength. He's providing for you, and he will equip us further along the way. There's so many promises that God gives. I don't know a human being to give this many promises. So just for the sake, if you just was greedy and needy, you could just go for the promises and just say, hey, Lord, I'll just do what you say for the promises. In the end, you're going to be transformed. You will leave your self-seeking behavior to move to selfless behavior. You will leave that proud attitude to move into humility. See, every character in the Bible, they were transformed by the renewing of their mind. So it's essential that you embrace this new creation in 2021. Look in the mirror tonight and say to yourself, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that's in me that's in the world. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. I am blessed going in and blessed coming out. Yes, these are the promises that he gives you. And see, God promised you a hopeful future. So why would we come into 2021? Yes, 2020 was challenging, but every year is challenging. There's never going to be a year, as long as you walk on this planet, that's not going to challenge you. Because how will you know if you're strong if you'll never be tested? And God will allow things to come our way to test our faith. And he doesn't require a whole lot. He said all you need is the faith the size of a mustard seed. And that we can move mountains. So it's essential that we recognize this. And always I like to move into my second half, a soldier's perspective. Hallelujah. You are equipped and complete, lacking nothing. Now that we understand that we are new creations in Christ, old things have passed away and has now become new, it will require some diligence on our part to know how to use the new resources that God has equipped us with. Let us not hesitate to seek out our help from our leaders to guide us and direct us. If you have a church home, seek out your pastors, your bishops, your elders, your deacons. Seek them out. And let's not be prideful to ask our brothers and sisters in Christ for help. And then let's move quickly to be iron and sharpen iron as we mature in Christ. We are now equipped. We are now equipped. For as we grow, we are able to help others grow into discipleships, disciples of Christ. Now that God has given us his Holy Spirit, our armor, our angels, and all the attributes and features to be like Christ, let's go into the world and declare the works of the Lord. Oh, don't sit back and get spiritually fat. Don't be a hoarder of the gospel. Oh, no, you got to go and share it to the ends of the world. Too many of us talk about it, but are we doing it? Or we do it in our comfort zone, or we talk to our friends. Oh, yeah, man, you know I love the Lord. And your friends will come up and say, yeah, man, I love the Lord too, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. Man, you going to fire up that doobie? You see, we're in our comfort zone. But what about the man that just got through climbing the walls of the Capitol, standing before you, and he hates you because of what you look like? Can you stand before him like Peter and them did? And said, we got to declare the works of the Lord. What will you do then? See, Peter was hanging out with Jesus like never before. But when the time of reckoning, where it really mattered, when now death is facing him, couldn't stand up. Couldn't stand up. That's why it's essential to continue to develop spiritually and mature, because the day of reckoning is going to come. You're going to have to stand up. You're going to have to soldier up. You're going to have to do it. And you have now been promoted into the army of the Lord. You now possess the spirit of a soldier. Welcome to graduation. You are now armed. You have your armor. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the Word of God. But let me break that armor down for you so you know what you're putting on. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of peace, the sword of spirit, and the shield of faith. You soldiered up. And this is where this whole, show came about, because I was a soldier. And they armored me to go fight wars. Truthfully, I really didn't think about being in a war. But the day of reckoning came. I got that call. And there's a funny thing about war. When you first get into the fight, you shake it like Don Knox. And for some of us old school people, we know how Don Knox shake. He shake hard. Oh, yeah, because the rockets and mortars and the rounds are coming in, and they're trying to kill you. But don't we know another enemy by the name of Satan who's trying to kill you, destroy you, take everything from you? But as you go through the process of the war, you begin to get morbid. You get all into it. I can imagine David when he stepped up to the giant and all everybody else standing back shaking like Don Knott, scared, even his own brother. But David, with the host of the Lord, believed, and he knew he had a different kind of armor because Saul wanted to give him his armor. He said, I'm cool. I got these rocks, and I got this slingshot, and I got God by my side. I would say he had it in him. And when he stepped up to the giant to fight the enemy, he got morbid. He was ready to rock and roll. That's what happened in the second phase of being in a war zone. I can speak with authority. Been there. And you get where you're just looking for a fight. You're ready to rock and roll. Don't nothing shake you. I've seen brothers and sisters who have lost limbs and was ready to go back to fight. When can I, Doc, when can I get back? Doc, when can I get back? I need to be with my guys and my gal. I need to be there, soldiering up. That's the spirit of a soldier. And the latter phase of it, you're ready to come home. But some way, somehow, you're still sustaining that morbid fight that ready to go right unto the end. Because when I was getting ready to come home, we got hit right in the hangar. Right in the hangar. Getting ready to fly. God and his angels was with me. Now, we took some hits, some casualties. But at the end of the day, God was with me. And I still maintained the spirit of a soldier. So now that we're out here, and I got other partners, military partners, and they're out here fighting for the good fight of faith, and they're talking about God, and they're sharing what they have learned about the war zone. Those that don't know God, oh, they learn God real quick, real quick. But once you really embrace God, you develop that spirit of a soldier. You are God's army. And as Pastor Prophet Teresa say, oh, we training up. This basic training. Now, she's going to be giving some knowledge, some wisdom on this. So get ready, because we're about the deep things of Christ now. We done being children. We putting off childish ways. We stepping up. If you're an 18-year-old in Christ and you're ready to sign up and raise your hand, that raise goes like this. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and that thou can be saved, therefore you will say, Father, I confess Jesus is Lord. I make him Lord over my life right now. I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead. I renounce my past life. All things have passed away with Satan. And you close the door to any of his devices. And believe me, he gonna, even as you can say, he going to keep bringing them. But you, God, for forgiving you of all your sins. And you believe in you and you accept him as your personal Lord and Savior. And you now raise your hands, as the gentleman said in the song, I turn it all over to you because I'm a new creation. Old things are passed away. Now all things become new in Jesus Christ. Say amen. You are now have embraced your new creation. I appreciate you hanging in there for this four-part series. Thank you for allowing me to share the gospel of Christ. As people, I've sent out messages through the week, and I'm so thankful that they just receive them and even read them because it allows me to do my mission. And that's what you all want. We all given an assignment. It's time to step by game. So as we go forward, I don't want you to forget that other soldiers in this army out here sharing the gospel of Christ. So go to Kingdom Builder Development Institute. Don't forget that if you want to email us at kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com. And if you want to contact us by the home office, it's 313-583-9739. And if you want to sow into the ministry, it is www.giveify.com, GIVELIFY.com. Again, it's always an honor and a pleasure to get this opportunity to stand before our people and talk about the knowledge and wisdom of God's word. Remember, I pray for you. I pray for me, and I pray for you. And let's just watch and see what God do. God bless you. Have an amazing week.